Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. A little different start time today, 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon, February 4th, 2023, the Don Tony Show is live. I want to thank you for joining me. Hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. For those that are going to check out NXT Vengeance Day, tonight, live, 8 p.m., enjoy it. I will as well. Now, just a quick programming note for those out there that are anticipating a little post-show review of Vengeance Day. I actually will not be doing one tonight. We're not going to overload everybody. It will be part of Sunday night's sit-down episode, 8.05 p.m. You know, 5-6 matches, most of them predictable, but, WWE's developmental. I mean, they're touring Charlotte, so you know they're going to deliver a little bit more than they usually do with these premium live events that NXT puts out. But it's going to be a good show tonight. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I will be tuning in. Now, just to give you one other programming note, a lot of you are anticipating this. It happened. It's recorded. It went down yesterday, and it will air live. Well, I don't think it'll be live Sunday because we got a sit-down episode, but it will be released Sunday for everybody to enjoy. Podcast Forbidden Door 4 with Misha Montana is in the books, about 70 minutes, and let me tell you something, it will not disappoint. We talked about everything. We talked about XPW, we talked about the adult film industry, we even talked about OnlyFans, and some issues that you probably see with everyday girls that are going through some very emotional, difficult times, you know, not understanding, you know, how an OnlyFans page could blow up the way it does. It's not always about money. We do talk about Matt Riddle. We talk about all the allegations. We address the dumpster fires online. And, I tell you, it was phenomenal. I mean, I promise you, each and every one of you out there will take something from this conversation that we had. I don't call it an interview. I don't do interviews. We had a conversation, and I want to thank her for joining me again, and I want to thank her for the kind words, because when I played it back, you know, something she had said that I heard it, but I didn't listen to it, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And no, she did not say, Don Tony, you're hot, because no, I'm not. But I will tell everybody this. I'll give you a little news tidbit. We didn't get this deep into it, but obviously I expect some people coming out of the appearance to bring it up. All I'll say to you is this. The rumors out there that Matt Riddle is retired is a lie. Yesterday on SmackDown, when they were talking about Solo Sikoa and what he did to Sami Zayn, and I think it was Michael Cole that talked about how Solo could retire, people just asked Matt Riddle. It's a fucking storyline. Matt Riddle will be back very, very soon. I know when, and I think we may actually do a little contest as far as predictions when you think Matt Riddle will return. I have being sent to me a Matt Riddle hat autographed from Matt Riddle himself, signed card, signed photo. We got a few things, you know. But remember, this interview, well, conversation is about Misha Montana. So I promise you, you're going to enjoy it. It was spectacular. I mean, DT was in rare form as well. So, all right. Today, we're going to get into a few topics. Don't want to overload everyone. You know, as you saw right at the beginning, you know, rest in peace, Lanny Poffo. You know, leaping Lanny Poffo, the genius. And I tell you, man, back in the day, I'm not going to lie to you, the genius was like an annoying mosquito. Like, you knew the genius wasn't really going to, like, win loads of titles and become one of the greatest of all time. But you look in hindsight, man, what an underappreciated character back in the 80s, especially when Saturday Night's Main Event was really starting to flourish. What a fun character when they aligned him with Mr. Perfect. I mean, I was watching clips the last 2 days and being reminded of some of the moments. And, man, you know, they could never reveal that he was Macho Man's brother. But you hear in some of his promos, I mean, obviously he was showing a lot of love to the Macho Man. You know, but he is being remembered by the pro wrestling world fondly over the last 48 hours. And you know what makes me smile even more? People are not holding political bias in the way. They're not keeping it in the way because for those out there, you know, Lanny Poffo was I'm pretty sure, a devoted Republican. I had to search 7 years of Don Tony Kevin Castle show episodes to find the clip because I did not do detailed synopsises back then, but I remember an intro that we shared with Leap and Lanny Poffo, the genius. And I had to share it with everyone because it's not online. If you search and search and search and search, it is not online. He was not a fan of Barack Obama. And I'm not trying to make this political, but, you know, as far as a personal memory with the DTKC show, how many of you remember this from back in the day? Who remembers this? Oh, not that. Whoa. What the hell did I do? Oh, okay. Here it is. Who remembers this?
There once was a man named Barack. He lied to his gullible. There once was a man.
Wait, we don't like the box on the screen. Let's do it this way.
There once was a man named Barack. He lied to his gullible flock. For the national debt, he has no regret. Because he's still blaming Bush. What a crock. My name is Lanny Poffo. I approve this message.
The Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show contains explicit language and is intended for mature audiences only. But just because you're mature doesn't mean you can't be a little naughty.
Hulk Hogan, creepy and devil.
It's pretty interesting to look back at this.
Not much. Damn! This would explain the unexplainable and change the minds of fans everywhere by the words they speak.
TNA! Damn it!
Place where great wrestling and angles are praised.
The hypocrisy of being a TNA fan would be very difficult.
Place where a large green lizard crushes the super nerds into fine dust.
There you go. So, yeah, a little flashback. You know, Lanny Poffo, very, very animated over the years. And I did not realize that he wrestled only up to a couple of years ago, 68 years old. Did not know of any health issues with Lanny Poffo. I know he was a little bit beaten down, but, you know, cause of death, we don't know. I mean, 68, you know, people do pass at 68. Hopefully that doesn't happen to us. But taken, you know, the Poffo family is gone. You know, you had Angelo Poffo, Lanny Poffo, Randy, they're all gone. And, you know, what a memorable family in the world of pro wrestling. And, you know, rest in peace, Lanny Poffo. Again, I remember growing up, you know, WWF fan in the middle 80s, and, you know, he was so annoying. You know, and I remember the Frisbees when he used to toss them out. And the funny thing is, you know, you would like, if you pay attention closely, sometimes like he'd throw a Frisbee and someone would go to catch it, just clip him in the head. So you got to look closely when you see that. Actually, what he would do after, this is true, after a couple of early appearances of him throwing the Frisbee, he had to throw it all the way up in the air. So it would just glide down and somebody could catch it because you throw that shit too low. You throw a Frisbee at somebody's head when they're not expecting, especially if you got somebody in the crowd that's not paying attention. Hey, hand me that pretzel. You know, so, yeah. 68 years old, man. Did not expect that one this year. Lanny Poffo, rest in peace. I heard that an AWA enhancement wrestler also passed away. I don't have the information yet, but if I get it for tomorrow, I'll share it, or Monday at the latest. But you know, Lanny Poffo, you know, 68 years old, gone. And I really love, you know, the tributes that are pouring out right now. And again, you know, the political, you know, I remember him being an avid person against Barack Obama. And I'm sure people's views have changed over the years. My views have changed a little bit as well, but really beloved, you know, just beautiful tributes, you know, if you go look around. So rest in peace, Lanny Poffo. Okay. Just very quickly, I mean, everybody knew that this was going to be happening, but it is now official. Roman Reigns will be taking on Sami Zayn at the Elimination Chamber. We had this conversation on Monday, and I'm going to repeat it here again. You know, I understand in storyline why Sami Zayn would want that. If you saw SmackDown, that he wants the WWE, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. But as we said on Monday, and I saw a boatload of people pretty much saying the same thing last night, and I applaud everybody who did, storyline-wise, suspension of disbelief. You know Roman is not dropping those titles before WrestleMania. He's taking on Cody Rhodes. So why would you still put the titles on the line when you know the outcome already? And listen, I know, you know, if you really dig deeper, you know, we don't care. We just want to see Sammy beat the shit out of Roman Reigns for a little while. And that's the prevailing factor, and that's why the titles are on the line. Because in the end, no one's going to say, I'm not tuning in. I already know who's going to win. No, we want to see Sami Zayn beat the shit. You know what's interesting? I don't know if any of you out there felt this way last night, Friday night. And I might be way off on this one, but for the last month and a half, we were talking about the Oos movement, like almost like the Yes movement. But now instead of Daniel Bryan, it's Sami Zayn. Like the wrestling world is trying to force WWE's hand to change the narrative, change the direction. Because believe me, Daniel Bryan was not on course to win the championship that year. If you remember Batista coming back and everything else, you know, they forced WWE's hand to go in a different route. So it felt like the WWE Universe was maybe, you know, trying. I mean, look, you get behind someone, of course you want WWE to change course. And that's what a lot of people are doing. But the thing you got to understand is there's a bigger picture here. And WrestleMania is not going to be rewritten, you know, because people are so beloved involved with Sami Zayn. If Sami Zayn goes on to WrestleMania and becomes WWE champion, where does this leave Kevin Owens out of all of this? Jealousy, ultimately, and Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn? No. You have them both defeat the Usos for championships. They both have gold. They're best friends. You know, it's a story told from day one to the end, and it's shared. Remember, this is what a lot of people don't think about as far as Sami Zayn goes. When people say, no, Sami's got to go for the title. Sami's got to win the WWE Championship. Fuck the tag titles. Understand, the reason why Sami Zayn in storyline is no longer in the bloodline is because you showed sympathy for Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have to intertwine and achieve something together, because that bond between the two of them in the end was bigger than anything else. That's why Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have to win the championships together. But, you know, what you could have done also is you could have had no titles on the line, and that would have given the suspension of disbelief. Like, hey, maybe Sami Zayn can defeat Roman Reigns before WrestleMania. There's no titles on the line. Maybe Kevin Owens gets involved and Sami Zayn does the unthinkable. Problem is with that. And believe me, that was my original thought. Don't put any titles on the line, and you will give that little doubt that maybe Sami Zayn could beat Roman Reigns. Number one, you're not going to have Roman Reigns pinned before WrestleMania. I don't care if there's a Kevin Owens distraction or anything else. You're not going to do that. And that's the biggest flaw in that. And the second thing is, if Sami Zayn were to pin Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber with no championships on the line, then common sense, people would say, oh, he beat Roman Reigns. He's got to get a title shot now. Add him to Cody Rhodes, three-way WrestleMania. And again, that fucks up the storyline with Kevin Owens. So right now, especially when you add the fact that you're going to be in Canada, in Montreal. That crowd is going to be like, he said last night, Michael Cole, that the fans were unglued. Unglued might have been a little bit of a stretch, but they will be fucking unglued in Montreal. That's why they put Natty in the Elimination Chamber. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we know where that's going to go. But they wanted to put a hometown favorite in there. And I have no problem with it when you really think about it. The thing now is, because Becky Lynch is not going to be involved in this Elimination Chamber match, Asuka is the odds-on favorite to win it and take on Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. And I think fans in droves are perfectly fine with that. And that would be pretty damn cool if we get it. So, you know, so really when you think about Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber, think of everything that I said. And in the end, you say to yourself, okay, even though the titles are on the line, even though we know the outcome is going to be, just seeing Sami Zayn get a little bit of revenge on Roman Reigns, just see him beat the shit out of someone. Now, someone thing I was going to say earlier, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but for a while, you know, we've had that Oos movement, almost like the Yes movement reinvented. You know what vibes I got last night? When I was watching Sami Zayn attacking Roman Reigns in the corner and just everything about him, you know the vibe I got? Mankind, Mick Foley, when he was feuding with The Rock. I don't know why, but how the fans fell in love with Mankind. Now, yes, Mankind totally destroyed his body for our entertainment. And, you know, the brutality is what this got fans even more sympathetic to Mick Foley. But yesterday, I don't know, just seeing Sami Zayn, the way he cut his promo and how wild he looked, I was like, wow, I actually got a little bit more Mick Foley vibes than anything else. I'm not saying that Sami Zayn is not going to be hardcore. He's hardcore. No, I'm not saying that. But just the feeling, the emotion, it really gave me flashbacks of really falling for Mick Foley during the feud with The Rock. So, and no gross, I don't think Sami Zayn should have won the Royal Rumble. It would have made no sense. Sami Zayn was still in the bloodline at the time. Why would you enter the Royal Rumble? As a fluke? Nah. I mean, everybody has a right to their opinion, but that does not make sense at this time around. If you would have had Sami Zayn knocked out of the bloodline a month ago, 2 months ago, War Games, that would have been different. But, you know, and listen, let me also say this too. Go back to Monday with Cody Rhodes and the crowd reaction. Go back to WrestleMania of last year. Go back to all the matches that Cody Rhodes had leading up to his torn pec injury, which put him on the shelf. The man's been cutting babyface promos ever since he's been back in WWE. This stupid idea that a few morons on social media putting out there that the more Cody cuts babyface promos, the more the fans are going to want to boo him. The fuck you talking about? Are you fucking, I mean, these people online, it's just like the same morons that are saying, oh, Vince McMahon back is causing problems with negotiations. CNBC don't report that. Not even these goofs at Bloomberg are even reporting that. We're going to have fun with Bloomberg in a few minutes. Oh, my God. That's on a whole new level. Thank you, Kim, for this one, man. Thank you. But, you know, nobody in the business world, the stock market's not reflecting it. Nobody in the business world is reflecting that Vince McMahon back is causing difficulties in the negotiation of a sale. All it is wrestling sites, and all it is wrestling people that don't like Vince McMahon. And whether you like Vince McMahon or whether you hate Vince McMahon, you got to look at the obvious and the truth. And I'll segue into something else very, very quickly. Have you seen these reports this week that there's a new lawsuit against WWE? And everybody's using the clickbait word horrifying, horrifying. I got news for you. I got from someone who I trust is that Vince McMahon is actually considering filing a defamation lawsuit against this stockholder for the type of wording that was used in the lawsuit. You cannot just throw the R word out there and it rhymes with grape. You can't just throw that out there when there is no proof of it. Yeah, somebody made an allegation in 1986. Why did the fuck did you buy the WWE stock? Why the fuck did you buy the WWE stock when you knew Vince McMahon was 86% shareholder, you know, and now because he returns? So let me tell you something. Everybody that jumped on that train this week about a stockholder making horrifying allegations or this, and then using the actual R word, you know, there are people out there that are trying to make their names famous. They're trying to maybe get a little settlement with WWE. They're trying, you know, people don't like Vince McMahon. They want to play this game. But as I've said before, you know, little spoiler, WWE gets sued every year about stock, things related to stock. When you had 2 years ago, when you had Barrios and Wilson leave, and you go back and you look at the lawsuits back then, nobody talked about it. This is all just trying to get people to click on their articles. You know, I don't listen. No lawsuit is fun because you always have to go to court. You always have to pay a lawyer, you know, but this is part of the business. That's why when you remember Nick Khan saying that, look, there's always going to be issues. You know, that's not trying to downplay sexual assault or allegations. No, that's just a part of the corporate world, in a billionaire's world, and what's going on. There's always going to be these things. But, you know, to see people just going out in droves and clickbaiting that. When I saw this week, I was just kind of like laughing at it. I said, these people cannot be that stupid. And I realize now, these people online, they're not stupid, everyone. They're not that stupid. I mean, I know this is their only source of income, but they're not that brain dead. They know very, very well what they're doing. And, you know, it's a little dangerous when you think about it. So when people start filing defamation lawsuits back, my God, you see what happened with Soraya in Ringside News? I wasn't going to talk about this today, but I have the screenshot here, so I might as well share that. Everyone out there that is on video, just look at your screen and look at Ringside News. It was supposed to be a news site, actually wrote about Paige's brother. This is a perfect example of people. Most of these news sites, they never go to wrestling conventions. They never show their faces. They never reveal their names. Because if they were to show up, there is a good chance, at minimum, they will be cursed at, yelled at, spit at, and thrown out of an event and embarrassed with lots of cell phones recording it. These people deserve to get kicked in the balls, punched in the mouth. You know, this is just the lowest of the low. This is the lowest of the low. Thank fucking God I have all those guys blocked. My wrestling, you know, in the IWC experience is so much more enjoyable without Brad Shepard in it, without Zero News in it, without Ringside News in it. These are just ghetto, low-life pieces of shit. And this is the stuff I've been talking about for well over a decade. And it's now come to full mass because everybody is fighting for that $3 of advertising revenue. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. So let's have some fun. Let's have some fun. Now, for any of my Star Trek fans out there, you know why I put Mirror Mirror, one of my favorite Star Trek episodes of all time, when the original Star Trek, 1968, I think it was, when they went to the parallel universe. We had this week both cons in the media. Nick Khan was on CNBC talking about a potential WWE sale. There was a conference call. The latest financials came out. And contrary to those haters that said, oh, the stock is going to tank this week. Once the quarter financials come out and some of the numbers are down, the stock's going to tank. No, it went up another 5%. The stock is about $90 a share right now. Now, if you follow my show, you know exactly the scenario that would cause the stock to start tanking. Hasn't happened yet. When it does, everyone will be like, DT, yep, you were spot on. But, you know, Nick Khan, this is a perfect example of how WWE is perceived in the corporate business world. And again, this is why Nick Khan is disliked. This is why Vince McMahon is extremely disliked. These are stuffed shirts. These are millionaires and billionaires. And, you know, everyday people don't like it. Especially if you're white, let's be honest. White privilege, white billionaires and millionaires, yeah, let's be honest. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, big issues against people already. But you look at the way Tony Khan is perceived. Oh, God. And I'm going to, for those on video, I'm going to show you the article. With all due respect, this is the author of this article. Kim Basine, I believe his name is. And Kim, I thank you for this one. When I show everybody this article and I read a couple of lines to it, and believe me, some of these lines you would not have even thought about when this article came out. But when I actually bring it up to you and you see it, you're going to be like, this comes off as like a high school student who gets the teacher that says, hey, write an essay about your most favorite hobby or pastime, sport, anything that you love. This looked like a 12-year-old wrote it. And the funniest thing about it is when you dissect the article, no sources, never researched, never interviewed anyone, and there's a fucking line on here. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. As much as we criticize the wrestling news sites for their awful writing, this line has got to be the line of the fucking year. I don't think anybody could even write a more stupid line, and when I share it, you're going to laugh your ass off. Let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else about this Bloomberg article. My friends, this is legitimately the cover of Bloomberg Business Week online. And what they did was, I thought it was Dino Bravo for a second. They photoshopped Tony Khan. And I don't even know if that's the Ultimate Warrior's body, because the Ultimate Warrior, he always had the tassels and the arms look a little bit too big. You know, it's probably the Ultimate Warrior, but I don't even know whose hair that is. But the article title says the billionaire's son is coming for WWE. And then it says Tony Khan's All Elite Wrestling is taking on Vince McMahon's volatile empire. Volatile empire. Let me give you a little tidbit that no one probably knows. Do you know that that article, the title has been written 7 different times? Do you know they keep well, now they have the title on there. Now you can't go back. They had 7 different titles trying to push this online. They would put it out there. It would get almost no response, or people would laugh at it. And then they would rewrite it. And I'm going to share with you the titles that they used. WWE Challenger, AEW, fueled by Tony Khan's wrestling obsession. Okay, that I actually think is a pretty good, but you know, it's that doesn't stand out enough. You and I probably would have said the same statement. Wrestling drama as Tony Khan's AEW takes on Vince McMahon's WWE. That's a title that would have been written 4 years ago. Watch a billionaire's son take on WWE. Okay. Does that make Tony Khan look great? Watch a billionaire son. Tony Khan's a billionaire too. What? You make it sound like Tony Khan doesn't have money. Tony Khan's All Elite Wrestling is ascending as WWE is in chaos. $90 a share. WWE stocked up 25% since Vince returned. Chaos? That's the kind of chaos I want. That's the kind of chaos I want. If I have money invested in that, that's chaos, yeah. This is great. The Nepo Baby versus Vince McMahon Pro Wrestling finally has a real challenger. And the last one that I could find. A billionaire son battles a turbulent WWE over the future of pro wrestling. Ah, this is great. All right. For those on video, you can look at your screen. For those on audio, or if you're on like a mobile phone and this print is a little bit too low, too small, I'm going to share with you some of the funny lines from this, and then I can't wait to show you the line. This is the line of the year. I'm going to read you a couple of clips from this article just to give you a sense of what we're dealing here. This is Bloomberg fucking news. You know, you would think Business World. Again, this is the author. I don't give a fuck his name is Kim. I don't give a fuck if his name is Jack. I don't give a fuck if he's Irish, Asian, Italian. I'm just showing you the picture of this guy. All right? Looks like a wrestling fan. He looks, you know, like he's got a half a brain. All right. And the funny thing is, if you actually start reading this, you'd think it's from Ringside News. So check this out. Every Wednesday, Tony Khan sets up his makeshift office in the dark. In the dark! On this particular evening in September, he's at Arthur Ashe Stadium in Queensboro, New York, maneuvering through a maze of scaffolding beneath a stage to get his chair propped up in front of a screen with 15 camera feeds. Khan scans between his scribbled notes, and the pro wrestlers are punching, grappling, and suplexing each other in front of 14,000 raucous fans, checking the clock for the upcoming commercial break, and with it, a rare lull in the drama. Pro wrestling is, after all, as much of a sport as an elaborately plotted soap opera. All right. Show me where. All right, let's get to, you know, WWE's. For 4 years, Khan's All Elite Wrestling has operated as an upstart rival to WWE, deploying its own brand of predetermined mayhem to convert diehard fans and seduce one-time viewers from whom WWE had just became just another PG-rated bore fest. Khan's formula: more blood spilled, more folding chair smash, more swearing, and more nuanced storylines. Quote, you generally get the feel that AEW is written by a fan for fans, says not Tony Khan, but Tom Campbell of Cultaholic Wrestling. This motherfucker got no quotes from anybody in wrestling, but there is a line in here. This is great. So he talks about, you know, Claudio Castagnoli wearing a skull baseball hat, and he's going up against Jericho and blah, 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 blah. Khan, who has the wispy build and frenetic energy of a teenager, is the most well-funded benefactor in decades to take on WWE. Higotomy? I don't know. His father is Shahid Khan, and he goes over the father's accolades, and we just keep going. Khan has spent tens of millions of dollars. Tens. Everyone, tens. Okay, tens. Luring top stars such as Jericho, six-time WWE champion. Again, Jericho and Castagnoli. So far, the article is focused around Jericho and Castagnoli. In March, Khan acquired the small but respected pro wrestling company Ring of Honor from Sinclair for an undisclosed sum, adding a new crop of wrestlers. Yeah, that Shane Taylor is kicking it right now. Some intellectual property and extensive video library. AEW is also considering starting a streaming service, likely through a deal with its broadcast partner, Warner Brothers Discovery. Bullshit! Bullshit! I think this guy wrote this before the Ring of Honor, the Glory by Honor, whatever that fucking, you know, the streaming service they have right now. But here's where it gets better. As its new rival gains ground, WWE finds itself more volatile than ever. McMahon, who bought WWE's predecessor from his dad in the 80s, transformed it from a regional attraction to a $6.3 billion empire. Oh, it's been worth $9 billion for well over a month to now. In July, Wall Street Journal had secretly reported that he had secretly paid $12 million in hush money to settle allegations of sexual misconduct and infidelity. So far, friends, everything in this fucking article, It's nothing. It's like somebody writing a book report. But we're getting close to it. It talks about Stephanie McMahon leaving Nick Khan in charge. In a week since, WWE's hired financial advisors to explore strategic options. Investor groups are also suing over McMahon's surprise return and sex scandal. WWE declined to talk to Business Week about the saga. Or maybe they just thought they didn't want to deal with fucking morons. In a letter sent to the board in December, McMahon said he left WWE to give space for the investigation, but it was critical for him to return to lead the exploration of a possible sale and negotiate new media rights deals. Quote, no one has a greater interest in the long-term success of WWE or is more in line with WWE shareholders than me. McMahon's lawyer released a statement in January. Still, this guy is just reading stuff off the net. Here's where it gets good. Pro wrestling is a business. With billions of dollars in broadcast rights at stake, WWE nearly made $1.1 billion in revenue last fiscal year, dwarfing its new rival by more than tenfold. But AEW's viewership has crept up, breaking a million on several episodes, or about half of that of WWE's top show. Both WWE and AEW's rights packages are expiring soon, setting up a crucial showdown between potential suitors that range from Fox Corp to Amazon. Analysts say Comcast could end up paying more than $2 billion to renew the arrangement it has with WWE to put its content on NBC's Peacock streaming service. All right, it goes on and on. All right, let me find the line. Let's get to the fucking line. Let me just pull this up. All right, let's pull up the F word.
Okay, here it is. Okay, here it is. And those on the screen could see the highlighted. Check this out. Khan acquired the small but respected pro wrestling company Ring of Honor from Sinclair Broadcast Group for an undisclosed sum, adding a new crop of wrestlers, some intellectual property, and extensive video library. AEW is also considering starting. I know we read that earlier, but here's the great one. AEW is also considering starting a streaming service, likely through a deal with its broadcast partner, Warner Brothers Discovery. Here it is. According to a person familiar with management's thinking, asking not to be named. Let me read this fucking line again. According to a person familiar with management's thinking. Friends, are you thinking what I'm thinking? If you're thinking what I'm thinking, then what? This person talked to someone who thinks the same like management. This article is, it is ridiculously horrid. Hard. There is nothing in this article. Look at this. This is the last part. We'll move on. Still, there's no shortage of skepticism about Khan's chops. Podcast hosts, former wrestling executives, and ex-staffers say AEW is run by a rich kid spending daddy's cash. Jaguars defensive end Yannick Nicole, I don't know how to pronounce his name, once called him a spoiled brat before getting traded away. Quote, Tony has a tendency to ricochet off walls and say stupid shit, but he really doesn't understand much about the wrestling industry, really, says legendary wrestling TV producer Eric Bischoff, who worked with AEW, told industry publication Fightful in November. Quote, he's a wrestling fan. This guy just literally just reads off of social media sites. Here's the best part. Look at the screen. This is the picture that this guy chooses to put in here. This is the, it looks like my 6-year-old niece took it. Oh, look, I snapped the picture. It's fucking blurry. Let's scroll up. Look at the picture of the fans he decides to use. Let's find the picture. Well, that's just the crowd. That's a shot of the crowd. Let's look at the fans. Let's find it because it's here. It's here. Let's go down. Let's go down. Look, it just goes on and on and on. All right. I might have went too far. Here. I saved it. I saved it. Here's the picture he used, everyone. That's the picture he used. Look at that. Just look at that. That's the photo you choose of the AEW wrestling fans. My friends, for those on audio only, it's a picture of like 5 wrestling fans surrounded by about 40 empty chairs. And I'm not going to criticize the way these fans look, but oh God, it's beyond embarrassing. It's everybody who's live right now is literally laughing. And look, please, do not look at AEW any differently in a negative light because of this. But this is why I put mirror, mirror, because this is a tale of two cons. You got one featured on CNBC, whether you like him or not, very, very smooth talker, you know, telling everyone, look, Vince McMahon is prepared that for the right deal, he will walk away from WWE. He has no fucking choice. If somebody buys WWE, he has to walk away. I know what you're going to say, oh, about the shares. You know, the guy has to walk away. But people don't want to listen to that. This is a tale of two cons. You look at the last couple of days in the wrestling world, this is pretty much what you got. You got a company that is worth $8 or $9 billion right now who is negotiating a possible sale that has to be, and here's some news. Here's some news that a lot of people didn't think about. Tony Khan said that the whole entire process would take about 3 months. That's not a lot of time. 3 months goes like this. Not only that, and this is something that we've talked about quite a bit. Remember M&A. Because that is still a possibility. They have TV rights deals that are coming up in 2024. That has to be negotiated. You get to a certain point that if a sale is not finalized by the summertime, sale will be off the table.
because now you have to focus on media rights. Because understand something, as Tony, as Nick Khan has said, and this is something that everybody needs to remember about the sale of WWE and the media rights. If you negotiate the media rights deal first, that knocks a whole bunch of potential buyers off the table. Because you're not going to sign a TV deal with Disney and sell to Comcast. That's why when you think about the stupidity that AEW could possibly buy WWE, you know, if TBS and Turner have AEW and WWE negotiates a new deal with NBC Universal and Raw stays on USA Network and SmackDown stays on Fox and then AEW buys it, there's already TV deals in place. You think TBS and WarnerMedia is going to be like, yeah, that's okay. Even though AEW owns the company, they can have a product on a different network. How is AEW going to buy WWE if WWE negotiates a TV right deal first and they're on USA and Fox? And you think WarnerMedia would be fine with that? So you just use a little common sense and logic, and you realize right away why AEW, when you hear AEW is considering a streaming service, yeah, AEW is considering buying WWE. AEW is considering buying the fucking Globe. You know, that doesn't mean nothing. You know, people throw that out there. Hey, you know, we're interested. Yeah. Yeah, it's more like, hey, it's like I go on eBay and I see a $10,000 car I like, and I look at my wallet and there's only $500 in there. And I turn around and say, somebody says to me, hey, you're looking at that car? Yeah, I'm interested in buying it. I only got $500, but the seller doesn't know that. So, you know, there's a difference between being interested and being legitimately interested. You know, any of us, if we could go on eBay and buy something for 10% of its value and get away with it because somebody misspells the title or nobody looks at the auction and it's a quick one-day sale, you might be able to get lucky and buy something like that. But there's no legit interest on AEW's part to buy WWE. It's ridiculous. It's insane. And people, you know, they intentionally don't use the common sense. So, oh, God, I feel like smoking a cigarette after that. I read every sentence of that article, and no disrespect, it's nothing personal against this guy. But Kim, name me the junior high school that you're graduating so we could send you a fruit basket when you graduate in June. Seriously, it looks like a 12-year-old wrote this. There was no quotes, no interview, no nothing. And the only line that he got was from someone who thinks like management. Thinks what? Bizarro land. Listen, if this was bullshitnews.com, we would have just laughed, you stupid morons, and just move on. When this is Bloomberg News. Serious, this is Bloomberg News. You know, I don't know if they're the type that would be like, hey, we got 100,000 hits off of it. You know, who cares if the guy writes like a fucking 8-year-old? Oh, God. Seriously, I feel like smoking a cigarette. I feel like I just had intercourse dealing with that shit. This is great. That's the photo that they used, everyone. That's the fucking... I feel bad for those fans in the picture because they'll ever be associated with that photo. Seriously, they show up in AEW. Oh, you're the Bloomberg guy. You're the Bloomberg fan. Look, do they look excited? I thought the girl on the right was eating popcorn for a minute. I was like, that popcorn looks good. And I realized, no, it's just a folded magazine. They look so excited. And the best, everyone. Look, come on. What font is that? What font is that? The billionaire son. That is such an insult on Tony. He's a motherfucking billionaire. How's it about the billionaire is coming for WWE? Oh, that's awful. All right. Let's move on. How long are we going, Ray? 45 minutes? Yeah, we can stop bringing this home. Hey, I'm going to reveal something personal because best wishes go out to Maria Kanellis. And look, I'm probably never going to speak to her about it. It's none of my business, but it's something very, very interesting. Anybody that's been on my Patreon knows this past Tuesday I revealed something medically about me. And I don't mind sharing it now because it blew my mind that it just happened to Maria Kanellis. And she decided to do what I thought was fucking nuts. All right. A lot of you know I have issues with my prostate. I got issues with my thyroid. A couple of weeks ago on social media, I showed you I got two biopsies done on my thyroid. They came back inconclusive, which sucks because inconclusive means they don't know if it's cancer. They don't know if it's not. So I had to go to a specialist. So on January 31st, I went to a specialist and I met with someone who just deals in this. And he said, we need to do another biopsy on your right thyroid. I'm like, I'm not getting another biopsy. That's fucking painful. Sticking a needle and fucking just grinding? No, I'm not interested in that. He's like, look. He's like, it came back inconclusive. He says, you got three options. You leave it alone. And if you do have cancer, a year from now, it might be too late. Second option is we take out your thyroid. We take out your thyroid. Because my growths on each side are over 4 centimeters in size, and they're growing. And I said, what's the third option? He says, the third option is you get another biopsy, and we examine it a little bit further, and hopefully we could determine if you have cancer or not. So I said, okay, fuck it. I'll just do another biopsy. So on January 31st, they gave me another biopsy. All right. Now, again, inconclusive means they don't know if it has it. But the truth is, it's between 5 and 10%, I think, chance that it's cancer. It's very, very low. So anyway, Maria Kanellis just had surgery last week to have her thyroid taken out. To have it taken out. And when I read her statement, she said that they found a couple of cells that were abnormal, but it was not cancerous. So she decided to have it removed to avoid it possibly being cancer in the future. She didn't even have cancer. She had the same exact thing that I had, and she elected for the option of just taking it out. And I was like, that's fucking wild, because now she's got to be on Synthroid for the rest of her life. Now she's got to be on calcium supplements for the rest of her life. You know, taking a thyroid is not an easy thing. Plus, it's freaking risky because it's right near your jugular vein. It's right near your voice box. If you think of hoarseness, hoarseness is definitely, you know, a possibility as well. I don't know, you know, if her voice has changed at all from it, but she elected to have it taken out. So I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something on the screen for anybody that's into scientific stuff. That is my actual results from my biopsy done on January 31st. And the reason why I'm showing you is if you look at the final diagnosis, it says benign. So if you see here where my mouse is, benign means I don't have cancer. But if you look, it says category 2, okay? Your diagnosis falls in different categories, all right? Her category was category 1. Now, this is my results. Now, you see there are 6 categories here. The worst is category 6. It's almost like hurricanes. Category 6, you know, they think the planet's just destroyed. Category 6 is a malignant lobectomy, and you have 97 to 99% chance that it's cancer, and you have to get a near-total thyroidectomy. All right, so that's the worst of the worst. You go to diagnostic number 5, you have a 50 to 75% chance of having cancer, and you have a near total where they almost take it all out. 4, you see how it goes down 25 to 40%, but here, I have number 2. So before number 2, yeah, I know it sounds like pee-pee and cocky, but when we were kids, I got to do number 1. You got to do number 1 and number 2. No, I got to do number 3. Number 3 was never fun, especially if the bathroom was like on the next floor and you have to do number 3, and by the time you go, well, we're not going to go there. Anyway, up until January 31st, I had number 1, which was non-diagnostic, which means it was inconclusive, and you see what your usual management is. Repeat the biopsy. And that's what I did January 31st. What she got was the same thing, non-diagnostic. But she decided to have it taken out. 5 to 10% chance of cancer. Now, because I'm benign, I have a 0 to 3% chance of having cancer right now. Now, my follow-up is in 6 months. But just to give you an idea as far as, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm blown away. I'm blown away that she had it taken out. because now she's got to be on medication and supplements for the rest of her life. So I wish her well, because that just hit home for me for the last couple of weeks. And believe me when I tell you, especially when you know you have prostate issues already, and I'm thinking to myself, God, my whole body's getting all fucked up. You know, it's like you worry. But luckily for me, you know, I don't have cancer. And luckily for her, she probably didn't have it either. But she decided to have it taken out so it doesn't develop into cancer. So, wow. Best wishes to Maria Kanellis. So, yeah, I'm sorry if this might have been a little boring for some of you out there. But, you know, I figure we try to go a little bit extra and share a little bit of additional info. SmackDown yesterday, Braun Strowman and Ricochet, as we expected, they become now the number one contenders for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. They will take on the Usos next week. Now, as we said on the Royal Rumble recap last week, you know, the storyline was going to be, where is Jey Uso? Jey Uso will ultimately turn on Sami Zayn. He's gotta, because at WrestleMania, you know, or he could be feuding with Jimmy. And at WrestleMania, they got to put it together, and maybe they have to reluctantly take on these guys. But I think in the end, Jey Uso's got to turn. The reason why he's got to turn on Sami Zayn is because you're not going to break up the Usos. The Usos are one of the greatest tag teams of this generation. They're Hall of Famers. They are the greatest of all time as far as stats go. You're not going to break that up. I don't think people, just like people were pissed back in the day when Devon and Bubba Ray were split up in WWF. Yeah, we're going to turn him into a reverend Devon. Remember with Deacon Batista? Nobody wanted that. No wrestling fans wanted that. Vince wanted it, and creative wanted it. Nobody wants the Usos split up. Right now, you tease it because it's the storyline. My problem with it is this. A lot of people think that Ricochet and Braun Strowman are winning the titles next week. And the interesting thing is, they have opened up Pandora's box when it comes to title matches. Recently, Adam Pearce in storyline allowed Sami Zayn to take on Jimmy Uso's place in a tag title match. If you remember recently, Dominic Mysterio was allowed to replace Finn Balor in the tournament. Next week, you're probably going to have Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa defending the tag titles if Jay does not return. And the thing I don't like about it is, if Ricochet and Braun Strowman win the SmackDown tag titles next week, and Jimmy Uso and Jay Uso are not in that match together, it's always going to feel like there's an asterisk behind their title loss. Not Ricochet and Braun. This is not a knock on Ricochet or Braun. You win, you win. I said very recently, when Mick Foley won the WWF Championship and he ran around the ring, you know, that he won. And everybody was made. That's when Tony Schiavone said, oh, that's going to put asses in the seats. Remember how he won the championship? DX got involved. Steve Austin showed up, smashed The Rock in the head with a chair. So Mick Foley, you know, but you don't care. You don't care that it was outside help. It doesn't put an asterisk on there. So Braun and Ricochet winning, you win, you win. So this is not an asterisk on Ricochet and Braun winning. It's an asterisk about the Usos losing, because this is how that reign ends. You look at their historic reign, it's going to end because of part of a storyline. Jey Uso is not in the match. I don't know. And I know what some people are going to say. Yeah, especially because it's Braun Strowman and Ricochet, a makeshift tag team. Imagine that. After all of this time, a makeshift tag team that weren't even a tag team a month ago, are you dethroned one of the Usos' two championship reigns? I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about that. So we'll see what happens, but I will tell you this. There is a good possibility that Braun and Ricochet win, because we have had multiple tournaments for title shots against the Usos. You can't keep doing tournaments and having the Usos win. People are going to get sick of it. Oh, fuck, another tournament. I mean, people got kind of fed up with it with AEW. You keep doing tournaments You know, you're just giving Acme Insta-feuds. Oh, we can't create another storyline because we want the Usos only with a storyline with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. So we can't have a storyline with Ricochet and Braun. They have to win a tournament. We can't have Judgment Day have a storyline with the Usos. We have to have a tournament. We have to keep having tournaments because we don't want to create a new storyline. We only want one storyline with the Usos. And that is with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And that's what's going on. So what happens after next week for the SmackDown Tag Titles? You're going to have another tournament, another match on a future episode to determine who the new number one contenders are? That's not very, very good, especially that we're still 2 months away from WrestleMania. We're 50-something days away. This is not happening in 2 weeks. So what happens next week if the Usos retain or combination of somebody with Jimmy retains? All right. Charlotte Flair beat Sonya Deville. Not a bad match. Viking Raiders or the Brawling Brutes. I don't know how you feel about it creatively. I think the way they have used Sheamus and Drew McIntyre the last 2 weeks has been awful. Outside of the Royal Rumble. I had fun with the Royal Rumble. And by the way, did you see all those websites pulling back about Gunther versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? A match that was never discussed. It was fake news from the beginning because they were running out of match ideas that other people had not come up with. Because we all fantasize in the Royal Rumble, oh, I want to see Gunther chop Brock Lesnar at once. Because last year was, hey, big boy, Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar. They wanted to recreate that moment with Brock Lesnar and Gunther. So some dumb schmuck on a wrestling news site says, hey, you know what? Our sources tell us the WWE is considering Brock versus Gunther at WrestleMania. Oh, my God, it's a dream match. Oh, that's fucking amazing. Whoever your sources are, wow, that's fucking... It was never considered. It was always Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. It never was considered. But you put it out there, and 500 bullshit websites cut and paste the same thing. And because 500 websites are reporting it, yeah, it's real. Now, because it looks like it's going to be Drew versus Sheamus versus Gunther at WrestleMania, we're forced to pull back. Brock Lesnar versus Gunther no longer being considered for WrestleMania. I wish I could curse like I used to, but those words are not in my vocabulary anymore. You know, you fucking morons. It was never considered in the first place. They're dispelling fake news that they created in the first place. I don't know if you've noticed that this week. It was pretty hilarious when I saw it. But the last 2 weeks, they have done a horrible job on TV with Sheamus and Drew. The reason why I say that is they despise the bloodline. Despise the bloodline. And the Viking Raiders come out last week during the tournament, and Drew and Sheamus go to the back. And because they're so angry at the Viking Raiders putting hands on them, that they forfeited their spot in the tournament. Huh? They're literally every week doing an interview segment. And this is Sheamus. Hey, Drew, I think you could win the Royal Rumble. And Drew's like, hey, Sheamus, and they're beating each other up. And the Viking Raiders put hands on them. Oh, we're going to forfeit our spot. That was horrible. Last night was even worse. Because the Viking Raiders took on the Brawling Brutes. The Viking Raiders win, and the Brawling Brutes are getting beat down. And after the match, Drew and Sheamus decide to come. No, we were buying ice cream, fella. We didn't know they were in the ring, fella. The minute the Viking Raiders should have been on that rampway for their match against the Brawling Brutes, Drew and Sheamus should have been out there fucking trying to whale them, even if officials pull them back, force them to go to the back. They wait until after Sheamus's compadres get beat by the Viking, and then they decide to come out. I thought it was, seriously, that was awful. I don't know how you all felt. It was awful. The last two SmackDowns have been awful for Drew McIntyre and Sheamus's character. I mean, look, you know it's not them. It's creative. But what horrible writing, man. Just makes them look, it makes everything about them and what they've been doing to each other just look, they look wimpy. They look wimpy. Natalya, as we said earlier, won the Fatal 4-Way, beating Shayna Baszler, Zelina Vega, and Shotzi. She gets a spot in the chamber. And we had the confrontation yesterday with Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns, and I thought it was funny when Roman Reigns was in the back with Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso. He's like, look, I got to go to the ring. You got food on the truck. We got sushi. You'll go eat. Go have fun. I thought that was pretty funny. Paul Heyman, that was awesome, man. Yes, my tribal chief. Yes, for sure, my tribal chief. This is why you are the tribal chief. And it just, he just nails it. I don't know, everything about Paul Heyman, and I, you know, it's always a tribute to Paul Heyman behind me. By the way, we had to take the bloodline off the wall because Sammy is no longer an Oos, but we put the loose cannon in place. So, all right, yesterday on Rampage, the match results, we had the Elite, you know, that trios. Yeah, where's the House of Black? The House of Black, my friends, let's be honest. Yeah, you have some good shit happen in AEW. Bryan Danielson stuff is awesome. The Moxley stuff is very good. The Hangman Page stuff is good. The Acclaim stuff is good. But let's also be honest. The House of Black, they look like goofs. They fucking return. Everybody's got a death sentence. And instead of going for the Elite, instead of going with for the top of the top and interfering, and it's storyline. It's creative. It's not them. You think I'm saying that they should show up and like, boss, you know, we're going to the ring because that's the right thing to do for business. You know, this storyline has been awful. They rather beat up fucking QT Marshall and fucking AR Fox. It's just, look at Hobbs, the Book of Hobbs. This is the Book of Hobbs, everyone. This is the Book of Hobbs. Seriously, look. You know, I got beat up when I was young. My family were addicts. I was abused. And now I'm going to take it out on everybody. As long as it's on YouTube. As long as I'm going to beat the elevation of Hobbs, you know. Awful. There's some awful shit going on right now. What happened to Keith Lee? You know, the brick on his stomach. The brick on his stomach, you know. Ugh. So anyway, Swerve Strickland beat Brian Pillman Jr. After the match was over, there's an added beatdown, and Dustin Rhodes makes the save. Tony Storm and Saraya off now full-blown heels, as we've talked about. They beat the Renegade Twins, and after the match, they'd spray paint the word L. Because they're losers. I would have come up with something else. If they're outsiders or something, you spray your own logo. They got to come up with a logo or something to just spray L. You're a loser. Rouge over Christopher Daniels. And the reason about that match is to try to inflate that Rouge actually has a shot against Bryan Danielson on Wednesday. I like Rouge. Like I said, he looks like a fucking, like if a Latina slept with Batista. And had a love child. I think they were Deacon Batista. If you remember Deacon Batista when he had the little like pubic hair thing on his chin, that little square little patch of hair. Actually, you know what? He's got the same fucking patch of hair. I just realized that. Kim, you gotta shave that thing, man. I don't know, what is that? Did you like lean on something and have glue on your face? Hey, I used to have that same thing, so I shouldn't talk. So. What else we got? I'm looking. Yeah, I think we're done. I think we are done. So how long we go? We went 64 minutes. You want me to spend like 10 minutes in the chat answering some questions? Let's spend like 9 or 10 minutes. Very, very quick stuff, though. Nothing like, give me a top 10 greatest of all time in SmackDown. You know, like, give me something that I can answer quickly. And don't forget, tomorrow night, the sit-down. You know, a third of the show will be going over Vengeance Day, FanXT. But tomorrow is all Q&A as well. And, we'll get into it. Oh, I got a super shout-out that I kind of not intentionally neglected early. Nero Faye. Tough times over here, DT. Yes, pray for peace, man. I see a little bit on the news wire here and there. I mean, honestly, I try to stay away from the news because there's so much awful shit going on. You see that what happened to that poor guy with those fucking 6 Memphis cops or the 5 Memphis cops? That's fucking crazy. And now, last night, everybody that I'm talking to, like, did you hear about the fucking China balloons going over the United States? I'm like, please, no. Let me just highlight, you know, Lanny Poffo's career and reminisce a little bit. Like, no, I try to like surround myself with good stuff. So I pray for you, Nir. He lives in Israel, by the way, everyone. He lives in Israel. So, wow. Miggy Saito. I don't even know what that dollar amount is. I don't know what that currency is. Don't super chat it, but whatever it is, thank you, my friend. 125 spot. What are my thoughts on the fan split on Sammy and Cody? Okay. I love this question, not because of the fact that he sent it the way he did, but, you know, it's a fun dynamic as a wrestling fan. I have no problem with wrestling fans wanting Sammy against Roman at Mania instead of Cody. I have no problem with wrestling fans who say, you know, Cody at Mania is the right way to go. Sammy, you know, if the storyline's been unbelievable, but he should not be in that position. It's fine for wrestling fans to take sides. That's what makes wrestling great. Some people fantasize CM Punk taking on Roman Reigns. People, up until the Royal Rumble, was still saying The Rock was going to take on Roman Reigns. There's nothing wrong with you having your favorite or somebody you like to want to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Where I have a problem with it is when news sites create fake news to try to push a narrative. I'll give you a really good example. Forget about the, you know, fans are divided about Cody Rhodes. That's a lie. That is a lie. You look at the crowd reaction at the Rumble. You look at it Raw after. 15,000 fans going, you deserve it. You see everybody online. It is just a very, very minuscule, not even 0.25% of wrestling fans doing that. But forget Cody for a second. Here. Have you seen this in the last week? Some sites said WWE management. Other sites said Vince McMahon and Triple H do not see Sami Zayn as a main eventer or as a WrestleMania main eventer. My friends, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos is going to be one of the main events at WrestleMania. It may not go last at WrestleMania, but it is one of the main events at WrestleMania. All right, people on news sites that want Sami pushed to the main event at WrestleMania against Roman Reigns, they're creating fake news by saying WWE does not view Sami Zayn as a main eventer, expecting all of us to be like, that's fucked up. Sami Zayn has been why I've been watching. Sami Zayn's the MVP. That's fucking crazy. And try to start this uproar, and maybe that gets through WWE, and then they may consider change. WWE is actually considering adding some idiot. I will quit the shows if this doesn't happen. At least one jerk off in the wrestling news world in the next week or two is going to put out an article. WWE, although unlikely, this is how it'll be written. Although unlikely, WWE has considered the possibility of adding Sami Zayn to the undisputed Universal WWE Championship match at WrestleMania, making it a three-way because of the fans' outrage or love for Sami Zayn. Some moron out there, they're not going to resist. WWE, although unlikely, has considered adding Sami Zayn as a three-way at WrestleMania. It's not true. It's not true. So fans themselves wanting Sami in the main event, that's awesome. That is awesome. Because many of us never ever thought Sami Zayn would ever be viewed as a main eventer. But he has been the MVP. Roman Reigns is singing the praise for Sami Zayn. You look at the Tonight Show appearance last week. You look at the wrestling world. Sami Zayn is approaching Kevin Owens territory. Kevin Owens got the Universal Championship several years ago. If you remember, Finn Balor got injured. And Triple H pedigreed Seth Rollins. And Kevin Owens is like, looking at Triple H. Remember that? Like a goldfish. And he pins. And while he's pinning him, he's still looking at Triple H like, because it was so shocking. But nobody really envisioned Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, people thought United States champion. He steps on John Cena's belt. Yeah, I could see that. But remember when Kevin Owens first came in? Like, I should talk. He looked like the fat guy that walked around the pool. They wouldn't take his shirt off. I'm one of them. But now you look at him. I fucking love Kevin Owens. I love watching Kevin Owens main eventing. Kevin Owens is one of the top guys. That motherfucker got Steve Austin out of retirement and got that match. Sami Zayn is approaching Kevin Owens territory. Another guy that we never ever envisioned to be in that spot, and now he's probably going to be in that spot. And that's great. If you put aside the biased news trying to push a viewpoint as a news article, you'll have a fun ride. Fans are not going to go against Cody Rhodes. It ain't happening. The only people that are going to go against Cody Rhodes are the ones that don't want Cody Rhodes in that spot, or they want Sami Zayn in that spot instead. So they will almost force something that is untrue to try to manipulate people's feelings into thinking of something different. So I love it. I love it. Thank you, Miggy. And shout out to you. I don't see your name around. So I hope you enjoyed. Booba. Another name. Booba. Any updates on the Riddle girlfriend? You know, it's funny. I actually was talking to her today. And I said to Misha, I said, you know, a lot of people are going to just look at the interview like, oh, that's Matt Riddle's girlfriend. It'll be out tomorrow. I'm going to just tell you straight up. We did 70 minutes. We talked a lot about Matt Riddle and the accusations made by a few dumpster fires. She shoots down those accusations. We use a lot of common sense. I also brought it to light. I did not show the tweet. You're going to have to do your homework and see it yourself. I didn't want to put anybody's name on it. But do you remember when Matt Riddle, the allegations came out that he was suspended for doing Molly and cocaine, or cocaine and weed, or cocaine? Molly was one of them. Or ecstasy. Remember those drugs? And then a couple of days later, something really interesting happened, and it was Conan's podcast was the first one to do it, but they didn't do it because they were backtracking. They were doing it because they were being responsible. They didn't list the drug names because they could not find any substantial backing that he was suspended for doing those hard drugs. So they were doing the right thing. The other places that originally used those drug names, they all backtracked, though. And I exposed it. If you notice, no one else has ever done what I did. And I brought it up during the interview. And if you want to do your homework, you'll find it. Those websites that accused him of doing those specific drugs, they found a tweet from August of last year. And the tweet was from one of Matt Riddle's ex-girlfriends who claimed to put up a text message where Matt Riddle said that I want to do this with you and I want to do that with you and I want to take this with you and I want to get hot. And this is an ex-girlfriend that was trying to destroy Matt Riddle's career. I mean, when you hashtag Stephanie McMahon and Vince and Triple H and you put that out there, you're trying to fucking kill a guy's career. Let's be honest. But that's where they got it from. A tweet from August of last year. Has anybody ever brought that up? No. No. So, believe me when I tell you, we get into some very, very deep stuff. But majority of interviews about her. It's a great, great discussion. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. And I'm not just hyping it up. You're going to love it. Because understand, we're from two different worlds. We're from two different worlds. She's West Coast, I'm East Coast. You know, I'm in my early 50s. She's in her early 30s. I was at the announcer's table for XPW in 02. She's getting bashed with light tubes in an XPW ring in 2022. You know, she's in the adult film industry. I'm in the adult food industry. You know, she's dating somebody famous and, you know, I'm happily married. You know, I mean, it's just we're from two totally different worlds, but we had an awesome conversation. I'm telling you, we'll enjoy it. It's going to go down tomorrow. I'd love to stream it live because I'd love to hang out in the chat room with everyone and interact with all of you while it's being played. I just don't know how many of you would actually tune in live for that. And plus, we got the sit down tomorrow. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'll stream part of it live during the sit down tomorrow, but I am going to put it out tomorrow anyway. So But yeah, it'll release. And look, it's not part of the interview, but I'm telling you this now. You want to market his news, you're hearing it from me straight. Matt Riddle will be back very, very soon. Sooner than you think. Will it be this Monday? No. But it's going to be very, very soon. I know exactly where and when. He's not retired. And I know what he's going to do and who he's going to go after. But he's going to be returning very, very soon. So I will probably throw that in a synopsis in a more mellowed way so it doesn't come off like news. But, yeah, he will be. I don't know exactly what time cycle. I got to type up a synopsis. I'll work on it tonight. So, but yeah, it'll drop tomorrow, and it'll be well worth it. It'll be well worth it. It was funny because it was an interview. It wasn't an interview. I keep saying interview because I'm just forced to have it. But you know, it was a conversation. Someone that I never thought would cross paths. You know, it was just wild how it went down. You know, because of what happened, you know, and, you know, they've been dating for a while and, you know, they're going really well and they're not married, but there's a lot of things that are discussed that has not been talked about before. So Antoine Fair with a 5-spot. Why is it that people want to put Sammy in the mode of Daniel Bryan when the story isn't the same? Feels like it's AEW fans and media stirring it up. You know, as I've said before, Shane Douglas, when I used to talk to him back in the XPW days, and he knew I had the hotlines and stuff like that, and when I was trying to do a little bit of the wrestling stuff, you know, for USA Pro, and I was not good at it, and I was getting a lot of hate online, he had said to me, he goes, there's an old phrase, talk good about me, talk bad about me, just talk about me. And that's something that always stuck with me. And, you know, they're talking about Sami Zayn, that's what matters. And if you bring up Sami Zayn, you realize how good he's been. So even if people want to bring it up for different reasons, the bottom line is he is the talk of wrestling. And people in the industry, competitors, friends, people he works with, people that are on the opposite side, they all love what he has done. So, you know, as far as people with the Daniel Bryan stuff, Daniel Bryan, yes, movement was special. It was special because you never, ever thought that he would get the opportunity he did. And it was the fans. Listen, I have been watching wrestling since 79. I have watched Vince McMahon go as an on-air TV commentator to kind of like a crossover where I've seen everything about Vince McMahon and behind the scenes, you know, as much as we know, one thing I could tell you in 40 plus years of watching the WWE product is it's not that often that WWE takes a totally drastic different direction because the fans dictated it. Yes, when the Ultimate Warrior got hot, you know, they realized we got to put everything on him. When certain wrestlers that they don't expect that are going to click, look at Mick Foley. If you watch any of the Foley's podcast with Conrad, you do get the sense, and he's talked about it over the years. He's talked about it in his books, but even when you listen to it now, you would have never ever envisioned that that guy would have ever been WWF champion, but it was the fans. And obviously it was his creativeness, you know, convincing Vince as well. But if the fans didn't react to what Mick Foley was pitching, then Vince wouldn't have bought into it. So it's not often that WWE does that drastic of a change. And a lot of people think that Sami Zayn could also fit that mold. And if we had another movement and it resulted in WWE changing direction, that's a wonderful thing. But you can't just try to change things simply because you feel it should be. Listen, you know, we feel that this person should get a title shot. We said it earlier. We feel the House of Black should be feuding with the Elite. We feel that this, just because we feel that way doesn't mean it's going to happen. So I have no problem with them doing, bringing up Sammy, but, and a new movement, but it's not going to change the fact that they will become tag team champions. him and Kevin Owens are destined. And that is, when we look back years from now, it's going to be a wonderful finish to that storyline. And there's a deeper meaning, that bond between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's why they got to win the titles together. They got to win the titles together. You're going to see crying. You're going to see them both crying. You're going to see fans in the crowd crying at WrestleMania. You're going to see a lot of camera shots of people crying simply because they won the tag titles. Because friendship, their friendship, even when they were at odds with each other, deep down inside, their friendship never wavered. And that is a bond that will stick with them. I mean, Sami Zayn will forever be entwined with Kevin Owens and vice versa when we look back at their careers. Cypress VR. He's been watching me for a long time since the mid-2000s. Well, listening, because we only went video 2 years ago. I remember driving to work, having my phone connected to a cassette just to hear my podcast. You know, when I was searching the Lanny Poffo clip, that's from 2012, I think it was. And I went through 2008 all the way to 2012, every episode that we had done, Breakfast with Block, everything, and trying to find that clip. And, you know, my wife is hearing me say some, like, crazy things that I wouldn't dare say now. And she's like, holy shit. I'm like, yeah, it was 15 years ago. She's like, oh, my God, how could you say that? That was 17 years ago. You know, so when you realize, even with the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline, that shit was 21 years ago, 22 years ago. So I feel old, but I'm very proud that I could still do this. And sure, you know, we sacrifice viewers and listeners for being a little bit more brutally honest and not and ignoring the clickbait and resisting going that direction. But in the end, it's worth it. It's worth it. And when you tune into Forbidden Door 4, you'll hear something that is said about me that when I heard it the second time, it really like kind of hit me. And then when I was told today that somebody in the pro wrestling world echoed the same thing, I was like, wow, that's pretty fucking cool, man. That's pretty cool. You'll know it. I don't even have to say what it is. When you hear it, you're going to be like, ah, that's what he was talking about. It's the greatest compliment I could get. You know, people trusting me, that's the greatest compliment I could get. Seriously, you know, all your support is appreciated and never, you know, taken for granted. But trust, to me, is number one. And I appreciate all the trust that you have in me. And, you know, I will never break that trust with all of you. You know, I may end up getting some major health issues, and it's probably not going to be good if I come on you. I look like Georgie Animal Steel. Saturday, April 15th. Like, if I can't do it, I can't do it. That's why it broke my heart with Captain Ivan, man. All jokes aside, it broke my heart with Captain Ivan. He loved doing wrestling hotlines. He had that stroke 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was. And he called me up and he's like, can I do your hotline? I said, yeah. And obviously because I talked to him, I knew what condition he was in. And when he came on and he's like, I'm not being funny here. And I just was like, that's got to be devastating. It's just a hotline. But that was his pride and joy. So, you know, if family, real life got into the way or health and I couldn't do it, then I can't. But as long as I'm doing it, you will always have authenticity here and trust and always keeping it real. And, yeah, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Yes, rest in peace, Lanny Poffo, Sean. Definitely. 68, man, way too young. Really puts things in perspective. My father is several years older. You know, I'm not that far away from 60, you know, so it's like really kind of like puts things in perspective. So, all right, we're going to get out of here. We're at 85 minutes. I think we had a fun show. So I hope you all enjoy Vengeance Day tonight if you tune in. If you're thinking about tuning in and not sure, I think it's not going to be a three and a half hour show. it'll end two and a half hours at the most. It'll be a good show. We'll definitely recap it tomorrow. I'll give you my thoughts on a few points from it. We'll do the sit down tomorrow night. And yeah, at some point tomorrow, I will drop the Forbidden Door 4. It'll be online for everyone. And again, I'd love to stream it live, but I don't, you know, it's just like trying to put everybody together at the same time is not easy. Plus, we're doing a sit down tomorrow night, so I don't want to do two live streams at the same time, but it'll be online. You could access it. And what's cool about it is I didn't have to edit anything. I didn't have to edit anything. That was the best part of it all, because there was a few things I'm like, okay, you know, he may want this omitted or she may want this omitted afterwards. And that's why we didn't do it live, because we didn't know where certain things were going to go. But when I was told, oh, you put the whole thing up, I'm like, all right, cool, cool. So, all right, everybody, if you enjoyed today's show, you know what to do. If not, then, you know, that's fine as well. So I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their weekend. And I hope you can join me either Sunday night at 8:05 or Monday after Raw, 11:05 p.m. Raw is going to be a good show. Got a few things going down, that cage match with Becky Lynch and Bayley. And we'll have the final spot in the Elimination Chamber. I kind of have an idea of who they're going to go with, but it's not going to really matter because Asuka is going to be the one, I think, that's going to end up going to Mania. And we'll see what they do with Alexa Bliss on Monday. So I hear a couple little rumblings about Alexa Bliss. And we definitely have some topics to get into Monday as well. I definitely want to talk about that Cinnamon Toast Crunch rumor going around. You know, I don't want to talk about it here, but just think pitch black match at, you know, the Royal Rumble. And some people are fearing Cinnamon Toast Crunch match. It's not going to happen, but I'll explain where it came from. But why people are thinking it. And there is some legitimacy behind it, but no, nobody's going to be fighting in cereal. So, yeah. Be well, everybody. I'll talk to you all soon, and ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.